Good morning and welcome to the KUNM Collins Show. I'm your host, Kathleen Sabo. The 2015 legislative session ended this past Saturday, March 21st at noon. The session was characterized in part by partisanship, rancor, and a lack of collaboration and cooperation. Faced with this reality, from where will the big, bold ideas and actions that will address pressing issues in New Mexico come? Who is taking action and advancing ideas that will benefit all New Mexicans, including low-income people, people of color, and disenfranchised communities? As we explore these issues today, we'll look back at some legislation that passed this session, some that did not, and we'll look forward to hearing from you. Joining me for today's discussion by telephone is New Mexico State Senator Lisa Turaco from District 18. Good morning, Senator Turaco. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And hopefully joining us soon is Senator Michael Padilla. He is the senator of District 14, and he's entered the studio now, and we'll be hearing from him in a moment. So welcome to both of you, and thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. To participate in our program, email us at collinsshow@kunm.org or post your questions and comments online at kunm.org. And Senator Lisa Turaco, let's start with you as Senator Padilla is getting ready here. Tell us a bit about the Senate district you represent, District 14, and for how long you have represented that district, please.
Okay, well, I'm 18, although no one knows the numbers except you, Kathleen.
I did mess up.
Yeah, but so I'm Albuquerque Northeast Heights. It's a fairly conservative area, long been held by a Republican, and I'm Republican as well. It's not quite the high wealthy district that you get, you know, north of Academy, which, you know, would be North Albuquerque Acres, and what you get east of Tramway when you get into high desert. But it's a lot of working people, a lot of small business owners, and a relatively conservative part of Albuquerque.
Okay. And Senator Padilla, welcome. Good morning. And how about same for you in your district? If you could describe it and tell us how long you've been in your office, please.
Well, good morning, and thank you for having me here. I'm Senator Michael Padilla. I'm the majority whip in the Senate, and I represent District 14. Good morning, Senator Turaco.
Good morning.
Are you recovering?
Barely.
Same here. My district is essentially the southwest quadrant of Bernalillo County. My boundaries are I-40 on the north, all the way out to the Rio Puerto line, so I go quite a bit out of town, and then all the way over to I-25, I jump across, pick up most of the airport, and then all the way down to Isleta Pueblo. So I've got the historic South Valley, which I love. That's where I grew up. I love the area, literally. And then I have all of the new development on the Southwest Mesa. So a lot of city urban dwellers and then rural farming community. So it's quite a challenge in my area.
Now, as I was speaking with you prior to the program on the telephone, you said to me, I work well with Senator Turaco, and she echoed the same sentiment this morning. How can senators work together? When can you work together?
Well, I mean, I'll just jump in for a sec there, and I will tell you that I am I want to flatter Senator Turaco this morning and tell you the listeners that you know, I believe that she's someone that listens. I believe that she's someone that is reasonable, and I don't think that she wears her party label on her shoulder all day. And I think for that reason, she and I were able to work together on things like foster care legislation and a few others. Then as you kind of get into some of the other issues with relation to tax policy, job creation, how we manage penalties when people commit a crime, et cetera, then you start seeing, you know, some folks with their different, you know, labels and the way that they operate. But I think from that standpoint, you know, we're very lucky to have someone like Lisa Turaco in the Senate. And I think she's doing a great job.
Well, there's part of your campaign literature right there, Senator Turaco.
Oh, I know. Oh, my gosh.
Well, and so, Senator Turaco, one of the Santa Fe New Mexicans' quotes of the day attributed to you from March 20th, the day before the session ended, reads, quote, "We fight for the good of New Mexico, and we do it in a professional, bipartisan way," unquote. Now, your statement appeared to be in contrast to much public perception and sentiment, and even to the first paragraph of a March 20th New Mexican story by Milan Simonich, who we had on this show last week. And his article begins, quote, "With one full day left, bruising defeats and bitter confrontations have been the story of this year's 60-day session of the New Mexico legislature," unquote. Is that the story of the session for you? And if not, what is the story for you, Senator Turaco?
Okay, well, I mean, you just heard the Majority Whip, Senator Padilla, publicly say praises about someone who's considered to be a relatively conservative Republican. That's the way the Senate operates. I still stand by my statement. I think, and I would love for Senator Padilla to echo in, you know, if we have, it's not about personalities in the Senate. It's about policy. It's about philosophy. I do believe, however, that those comments, the comments about partisanship, had to do with the New Mexico House. Mm. The House is very divided. From the little bit that I heard, they do get personal. We don't get personal in the Senate. So you have two chambers of the New Mexico legislature that I believe operate in a very different way.
Well, and go ahead.
I know that's so hard. I apologize.
No, go ahead. Finish your sentence, please.
Well, I mean, and so I think Senator Padilla will agree. You know, I'm on the phone, so I can't tell if he's shaking his head up and down. But I mean, you know, I think that we all in the Senate look for common ground, and we want to work from the common ground. It's kind of like, you know, there's some issues we agree on. There's some issues we don't. Let's build on the issues we agree on, and on the issues that we don't, we have different coalitions. But the House was very, very partisan this year.
Now who sets that tone of, hey, let's find the common ground and let's see what we can agree on? Who sets that tone?
Well, in our chamber, we have the majority leader, and the majority leader is essentially all powerful, sets the agenda for the day, determines which bills are going to come for a vote, which ones are going to be debated, and things of that nature. I'm the whip, so I'm his chief deputy, if you will, running around like, and I'm sure that Senator Turaco can tell you, literally running around in circles on that Senate floor. I think I walked 300 miles a day under the roundhouse every single day, mm-hmm. And then in the House, you have the Speaker of the House and the Majority Leader that seem to be sharing power, whereas previously the Speaker of the House was essentially the individual that set the tone, set the calendar, set the actions of the House. I'll give you an example of where both chambers operated incredibly different. So there was a day, and I hope Senator Turaco, she and I get along so well. I'm sure she won't mind. But, you know, we all have other jobs. We're an unpaid legislature. It's funny, when I go speak to third graders, I'll ask them, how much do you think I make every year? and I'll get all these outrageous figures. And then I put a little circle over my eye and I look at them and they're like, well, oh, that's interesting. So we all have other jobs. So one day we had a critical vote that was going to happen on the floor, and we made sure that we waited because Senator Turaco had to spend a few hours, doing her day job, and was racing back and forth from Albuquerque. And we made sure that she was in the chamber to be able to vote for that bill. I mean, I can tell you, I can almost guarantee you that was not going to happen in the House. And I'm going to tell you, I was able to get through the help of Senator Turaco, I was able to get about three pieces of foster care legislation related to CYFD over to the House as a result of my role.
How great he is. And that is a perfect example of how the bipartisanship really works in the Senate. I mean, look at how he's singing my praises. Who does that?
Well, you know, only because it's you, Lisa. But
well, and you know what? The other thing is that vote that they waited for me to hurry back, they knew I wasn't going to vote with Senator Padilla. We voted opposite on that particular piece of legislation.
We sure did, but we made sure that everybody had a voice on the Senate. All 42 senators were accounted for and were in order and able to debate it, and we didn't let anything happen until every senator was able to say their piece. The legislation I got over to the House, I will tell you, with the Republican leadership there, after a while it became so toxic that they literally kept three pieces of my legislation, didn't even read the committee reports out. They made it all the way to the House floor, could very easily have made it through the legislature this year. Now, I'm a former foster child. I think I've said that here on your program here before. So, but I'll tell you, this didn't affect me as an individual, but it sure did affect the 3,000 students and the 3,000 kids here in New Mexico that are foster kids. But as a result of a vendetta, political vendetta, the Republican House leadership left that on the floor of the House, and it never saw the light of day after making it through all the way through all the committees in the Senate, all the way through the Senate, all the way through the committees in the House, and was not even allowed to be debated on the House floor. Ridiculous.
I'm talking with State Senators Lisa Turaco and Michael Padilla. They are here this morning helping us understand the legislative session and where we can go from here. You can post your comments and questions for our panel on Facebook. Search for KUNM Radio or on Twitter at KUNM News. Now, regardless of how collegial the Senate is, clearly, you have to deal with the House. Everybody does. Things have to move from one side to the other,
it's
and then
form
a conference.
Of government.
So is that the story for you then? Either one of you and Senator Turaco, let's start. Is that the story for you with this session, that the rancor between the chambers?
I don't think so. Not for me. And
okay.
I hear what Senator Padilla is saying, and that's, you know, kind of how I know that things are different in the House. And I'm so glad that I'm in the Senate because, I mean, just listen to how we get along and the professionalism. And even when we don't agree, it's not personal. And, you know, and I just know the House is different. I don't see the House. The Republicans took the House of Representatives for the first time in 80 years.
Mm.
And so when they took over and they have the majority, then they bring in their staff. You know, and they bring in their security. Now all of a sudden they're running things. I don't know that I concur that it was malicious and party-based, because I had legislation die in the House as well, and I think it was legislation that was, you know, good for New Mexico. I think some of it might be. It's the first time they've been in power. I think that there were committee. I know that there were committee people, not elected people, but staff that didn't know that they had to get committee reports to a different desk within a certain amount of time. So I think some of it could have just been the learning curve of taking over in power.
All right. Well, let's get into the meat of this, because I do want to let listeners know you are only with us until our second break, which is about 8:40. So let's get into the meat of our discussion here, which is, we have many pressing issues here in New Mexico, be they education, economic, natural resource related. How were these pressing issues addressed during the session, or were they? And let's start with you, Senator Padilla.
Well, thank you. And I'll tell you that, you know, the Democratic majority in the Senate, we came forward with the plan called Ready to Work. And so in my role, I analyzed every bill that every Democrat had introduced this session. And we found of about the, you know, total, I think there were about 1,200 bills introduced just in the Senate alone. More than half of them were Democrats. And I will tell you about 58 of them were directly jobs created or jobs related pieces of legislation. And right now, to me, that is the most pressing issue, job creation and economic development. So you take those 58 bills that we developed, and they accounted for the creation of about 73,000 jobs here in New Mexico. One particular piece of legislation that I had was a resident set aside to fully and completely protect New Mexico businesses. And essentially, if you're going to go and bid on a state contract, then essentially I wanted to see 33% of those contracts go to a New Mexico business. That's another piece of legislation that made it to the House and didn't see the light of day, which was really unfortunate. But I'll tell you, you know, when you think about job creation and economic development, that's not a party issue, but it's going to solve so many of our other issues, like domestic violence and not have to give away tax incentives and credits and deductions. You know, all of those things, if we can focus on the here and now, like things like early education, which prepare a better workforce, all of those things down the road. But for whatever reason, those things got chopped off at their kneecaps.
But it became a party issue, did it not? An ideological sort of split right there where and Senator Turaco, jump in here, but the, you know, with the right to work legislation, and this is what we want, you know, on our side of the aisle, or whether the governor's proposal. And so, Senator Turaco, I mean, how did you approach the job creation issue during this session?
Okay, so here's the thing about what's happening now: the because the Democrats rule the Senate, and because the Republicans rule the House, nothing was going to pass that's purely partisan. So that's kind of the premise of everything. And I have to, quite honestly, I don't even know what ultimately passed both houses. I can tell you one of my focuses this session was I was on a subcommittee that was for criminal justice reform. And I did get some important legislation passed through both houses on criminal justice reform. And what we're really trying to work towards is lowering recidivism. And one of those pieces of legislation was making sure that inmates are educated and that they get at least a high school education or they get education at the level that they're at. 50% of the people in the Department of Corrections in the penitentiary don't have a high school diploma. 50% of them can't even read. So, you know, not only are those, that's why they're, you know, in the cycle of criminal activity, you know, when you aren't educated enough to get a job. So I know that passed. And then I had a bill that went to halfway houses and transitional living for people who are in custody. And the year before they get out, we want them in a transitional living facility where they're still technically in the Department of Corrections custody, but they can get jobs. Women can be reunited with their children. You know, they can see their families. They can go out during the day and work and start to transition them back into the community. All this in mind as a goal that we lower recidivism, to get people out of custody and not committing crimes again. So those things did pass. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, let me reset here for the listeners. We're talking about how New Mexico's pressing issues are to be addressed in the wake of this year's legislative session. I'm joined by State Senators Lisa Turaco and Michael Padilla. Join our conversation at 277-5866. That's 277-KUNM or our toll-free number 1-877-899-5866. Share with us, where do we find the ideas and actions that will address New Mexico's pressing issues? We'll be back with you after this short break.
Have an antique or something unique at home? If so, check out Assistance League of Albuquerque's Antique or Unique, Sunday, March 29th at Hotel Albuquerque from 9 to 4. Meet with celebrity appraisers for verbal evaluations. Time-block tickets, so no long lines. Plus, a limited number of tickets are available for a special evening with the appraisers on Saturday, March 28th. Tickets and info at antiqueorunique.org. A message from the tax-exempt Assistance League of Albuquerque.
Join KUNM and the Raices Collective on Saturday, March 28th for the 22nd annual Cesar Chavez Festival, live from the National Hispanic Cultural Center in Albuquerque. There will be music, poetry, and a keynote address from Chicano leader Jose Angel Gutierrez. That's the 22nd annual Cesar Chavez Festival, Saturday, March 28th at 2 p.m. on KUNM.
Welcome back to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Kathleen Sabo. We're talking today about addressing New Mexico's pressing issues in the wake of the legislative session. I'm joined by State Senators Michael Padilla and Lisa Turaco. And we do welcome your participation. I do want to read a web comment from John. John says, it seems like Governor Susana Martinez was unwilling to compromise and ran roughshod over lawmakers. He says he thinks the problem at the legislature are with the governor. Now, Senator Turaco, that's obviously John's perception. I mean, you want to comment on his perception?
I don't know how he would get that because the legislative body is separate than the executive, and she doesn't really have anything to do with how we run things. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even talk to her during the session. She doesn't come down to the legislature. So I don't know where that comment would come. I don't understand that, and I would disagree.
All right, and Senator,
I don't know. Let's see what Senator Padilla.
All right, Senator Padilla,
call us and tell us what to do at all.
Well, here's an example of where things really took a wrong or a bad turn. So, throughout, you know, the past, I don't know, 102 years, We've had something called our capital outlay budget. We began discussions and debates right in line with exactly how we've done it, you know, over the years to make sure everybody had a part in the discussion. I'm a member of leadership in the Senate, and I was included in those meetings. We ensure that the governor's staff, who gets the governor gets a piece of that budget as well to do some projects that they'd like to that she'd like to do as well. So all along, there was zero compromise, I will tell you, from those meetings. Zero compromise, zero working. We bent quite a bit. We actually offered up a few more $1 million to help them achieve their budgets. And then suddenly there was radio silence. Essentially, they just dropped out almost completely from those discussions.
Now, was the Republican leadership in the
yes.
Senate involved?
Yes,
okay.
But both House,
okay.
and Senate. And
okay.
Senate, we made sure that everybody was a part of that discussion. The governor had staff there, and then just suddenly, you know, when they didn't like what we were proposing, and this was also, remember, House Republicans and Senate Republicans get a piece of this budget as well, mm-hmm. to do projects within
everybody's
their district.
Yeah.
Absolutely, you know, you want to improve the Little League field. You want to put in additional security cameras at the local elementary school. You want to build out something in a senior center, a sidewalk, you name it. So that's Senate Bill 159. And what I'll tell you is that, you know, the Senate, we had on March 13th the deadline at 3 o'clock. And I know because Lisa and I actually, Senator Tarocco and I actually talked about this on that day. And we had to turn our requests, member requests, in by 3 o'clock that day. We hadn't received any from the House Republicans at all. And so what we did is we gave them an extra 26 hours. We moved the deadline to the 14th at 5 p.m. They still didn't turn anything in. So the bill generates or begins in the Senate. We began to the Senate Finance Committee began debating it that following Monday. They passed it through the committee that day with a $22 million gap or hole in the budget with the House Republicans because they refused to turn anything in. Then we brought it to the floor of the Senate on the 17th, which was the very next day. We debated it, went to town on it, passed it that evening, sent it over to the House. Do you want to know when they returned it to us? They returned it to us with 14 minutes to go at the end of the session, turned the bill completely upside down, and delivered a bill that basically took and gutted money for senior centers, gutted money for higher education. And instead, they took money and they wanted to build out another hangar at the spaceport, and it was just baffling. We did not know. It was hard to understand what in the world they were trying to do there.
So what happens when you get that back with 14 minutes?
Essentially, it died. It died. There was no time to analyze it to make sure that we were doing right by the people of New Mexico.
So what's the result then?
Well, the House Republican leadership completely failed their responsibility. So a $264 million public works bill, which would have created thousands of jobs, is now on the table and has died in this legislative session as a result of inaction by the House Republicans.
And so I do want to – here's a caller who wants details on what actually passed this year. I do want to let people know we have several articles posted on our website. We have links, public health bills that either passed or didn't. Also, highlights of the session. You can go to KUNM.org and click under news.
Let's talk about my voter bill real quick.
Yes. Please go right ahead.
Bill passed. Okay, so you can now. I'm pretty confident that the governor will sign this, but it was that you can now do your voter registration and your changing of your address online.
Okay.
So starting July 1, the Secretary of State has the authorization to start an online voter registration and changing. So when you move or you're new to the state and you want to register or change any of your information, you can now do it online. That was a huge success.
All right.
And that's an important success because it makes it easier for people to register to vote because nowadays everybody does everything online. So, you know, I get tired of, and Senator Padilla is not doing this, but I get tired of, you know, Republicans want to disenfranchise voters or Republicans don't want people to vote. So I passed a huge voter bill. Huge. It's going to make it so much easier for people to vote and to update their information.
So we hear about a bill like that. And then last week's program, we talked about the bill that concerned lobbyists and information that had to be disclosed. And so the public sees how it starts out, you know, which is very comprehensive. And then by the time it gets through committees and both chambers, it's watered down. And so then there becomes a public perception. Oh, perhaps the legislators are not working for me. They're working for someone more powerful than I am up there. So Senator Tarocco, how do you address that issue?
Yeah, but sometimes watered down isn't a bad thing.
And that's a great point to make.
I mean, sometimes we don't want things so harsh to the right or so harsh to the left. You know, watered down really means we kind of refined the edges. You know, we kind of, you know, polished it off. So, you know, in a bipartisan, two chambers very that operate very differently, you've got to come up with something that's palatable.
Criticism of that bill is that there's nothing massive.
And so, you know, sometimes, you know, finishing things off and kind of making them a little bit more in the middle is not such a bad thing.
Well, but there are criticisms about that bill, that one in particular. Was there pressure from people?
I don't remember that bill, and I'm sorry.
That's okay.
You're going to have to refresh my memory as to the details and kind of what got amended out and what got amended in.
Well, what got amended out was no requirement to disclose what issues that people were lobbying for or against, or no requirement to disclose how much lobbyists were being paid. Well, yes, Senator Padilla.
Well, we've just got to make sure that there is a level playing field for every New Mexican. And here's an example. So, we obviously have a problem we're trying to fix here with regard to lobbying and things of that nature. How quickly, if you're a former legislator, can you go back and lobby, whatever. But as an example, like foster children, I'll go back to that community in New Mexico. They don't have a lobbyist. They don't have somebody running around the Capitol trying to convince me and others. I'm their lobbyist. I'm literally their lobbyist running around Santa Fe trying to convince people like Senator Tarocco, who's been fantastic, by the way, of helping me with my legislation and teaching me the legalese of how to get this stuff done. And she does a lot of that in her practice, so I think I really applaud her for that. You know, another piece of legislation that did pass, I don't mean to change the subject, you know, take a complete turn, but is the two-tier driver's license. You know, this was an issue that was on our backs for, you know, multiple sessions over the years. The Senate Democratic leadership called the Republican leadership to the table. We sat down, Senator John Arthur Smith, Senator Stuart Ingle, who's the minority leader, and I want to compliment him for coming to the table and discussing that with us. And we have passed a two-tier driver's license through the Senate.
So let's get a little bit of detail there, because people have been hearing about driver's licenses for years. So this is a compromise, is
this
it is not?
Absolutely.
And what
compromise.
Does it mean, two tiers? What are the two tiers?
Well, essentially, you get a driver's license that's basically, I'll just use the term, full-fledged, full-on, all the rights and emoluments, et cetera, that any other United States citizen would have with regard to a driver's license. The other license is for folks that might be here illegally or for some other reason. And this would basically help law enforcement see immediately that this individual, you know, needs to be, you know, looked at differently. They'll have different requirements for how often they have to renew their license. They have to turn in their insurance, et cetera, on a more regular basis. And this way, we at least know where people are. We know what's going on with them. We'll make sure that they have insurance, so that if they do, you know, run into Senator Tarocco's beautiful vehicle or my beat up old vehicle, that at least we have some coverage. You know, I zoomed past her on the way out of Santa Fe on Saturday. I don't know if she saw me or not. I was in such a hurry to get back to town.
And that did pass the House as well. It passed both chambers. It went through the conference committee. And because there seems to be uncertainty at this point because of the last minute actions and whether it actually passed or not. I mean,
we're still digging ourselves out of what did make it through the House right now. So I'm going to actually take a look at that while we continue talking.
All right. And again, we're not sure. So it is confusing. And Senator Tarocco, it's confusing about what actually passed both chambers, what made it to a conference committee.
Those last couple of days and then those last few hours, we're just scrambling 24/7. And talking fast and pushing things through. The important thing about that bill that Senator Padilla was talking about is that it gets us to comply with the Homeland Security Real ID Act. And that's really important.
Well, that involves funding for the state, does it not?
Exactly. Yeah. And it means that New Mexican citizens don't have to have their passport to travel to California. We can use our driver's license to get on an airplane. So that's why it was really important. Not only is it funding, but it makes it easier for our own citizens. And then people like me, I don't think illegal people should have a New Mexico driver's license. And that's portrayed in the media as being hateful to immigrants. It's not. That's about making sure for our own security that when people come to this country, no matter where they come from Canada, from one of the Arabic countries, from Mexico, that when they go get an ID, that they're who they say they are. Because once you have an ID, you're legitimized in the country. And you can travel freely anywhere, and we don't want terrorists coming to the United States and all of a sudden just kind of acclimating into society, and then we don't know who they are.
All right, Senator Padilla.
So there you go. I mean, I just wanted to make double sure before I spoke. You know, so we work in a bipartisan fashion in the Senate to develop this two-tier driver's license. We get everybody on the record, essentially. In the Senate, we get every New Mexican or non-United States citizen that may need a driver's license. We get them on the books so that we know where they're at, this and that. Doesn't even get the light of day in the House.
Okay, so it did not pass the House?
Based on the record that I'm looking at here. So,
and you're looking on the legislative website.
And I'm looking on the legislative website. I'm looking at the House committees, et cetera. I mean, I'll tell you, that there's so much work that's been done in the session. We had a very successful year in the Senate. People like Daniel Ivysoto working very, very hard. Senator Daniel Ivysoto working very hard for his district, trying to pick up the pieces in terms of what he can do to provide jobs, economic development, and all of those things in his area. Howie Morales down in the southern part of New Mexico working incredibly hard to make sure that, you know, that area has just been devastated by what's happened to the mines and things of that nature. You know, these two senators working like dogs, you know, for their constituents out there. So
we're talking today.
Hang on one second, Senator Trucker.
We're talking today about how New Mexico's pressing issues are to be addressed in the wake of this year's legislative session. I'm joined by State Senators Lisa Turaco and Michael Padilla. Join our conversation at 277-5866. That's 277-KUNM or our toll-free number 1-877-899-5866. We welcome your participation. Go ahead, Senator Turaco.
Well, I was going to say we're both senators. We should probably have a House member here because I had good legislation that I, you know, and Republican legislation that also died in the House. And so I'm not so sure that it's always partisan. I think sometimes, you know, because some of my really good Republican legislation should have just flown through the House because it's a Republican-run chamber, and it didn't. So, I mean, I don't really know what happened over there, and I think that in all fairness, we should have a Republican or a representative from the House of Representatives on the show to say, well, you know, all of a sudden you get, you know, I don't know the whole story.
We
know that stuff that we really liked went over to the House and it died.
All right.
And had stuff go over there die too. That's frustrating. That's part of the system, though. That happens every year. There were over 1,700 bills introduced. We only, you know, you can't hear 1,700 bills. I can't even remember 1,700 bills. It was such a whirlwind.
Well, let's step away and let's get you to talk about this. Because I know you're just with us for a few more minutes. When we have, regardless of if it's partisanship, if it's the system, if it's a new House clerk, whatever it may be, so we end this session, and people have not gotten through important legislation that would help the citizens of New Mexico. What happens now? How do we get actions to happen that will benefit the citizens? Do we just say, oh, wait till next year? Where all of a sudden we're all Chicago Cub fans and we're waiting until next year? Or will we see executive orders? I mean,
there's a lot of things. And, you know, I have to say, I was really frustrated. I carried in the Senate a really important piece of legislation. It is currently legal to literally pimp out a five-year-old. If there's a child under the age of 12, the statute doesn't cover putting that child up for prostitution. Okay, that's a really important piece of legislation that should have died. It died on the Senate floor in the last 15 minutes because one of our senators decided to filibuster a different bill, and the Senate ended. That didn't pass. So it always, you know, we're all frustrated for different reasons why things don't eventually pass. Oh. And I don't know that it's always partisan. What party is, again, you know, wants children to be prostituted? No one.
So what do you do? What do you do? Do you wait till next year?
Okay,
and now will you approach an agency and say, hey, this is so important. We need to
do something.
Get some rules or regs.
Right. Now, there are some issues that can be dealt with by rule. So, you know, there's all these different ways of making law, and it's not just through the legislature that we can accomplish change. That's one of the ways that we can accomplish change. But agencies can develop rules and regulations. We can, like on that child bill, you know, there's another crime called contributing to the delinquency of a minor. So it doesn't exactly address that issue, but it's close, and I can work with the police departments and make sure that they're educated. So, I mean, there's other ways. The most effective change, and let's take gay marriage as a perfect example, the most effective change is a cultural change. You know, we can do all kinds of things for education, but until parents step up and really get invested in their children's education, we're not going to make the kind of change that we want. So a lot of things are cultural and are community-based. Just because we pass a law doesn't mean the world changes. And just because we don't pass a law doesn't mean that the world falls apart. So, you know, a lot of it is us as people and as community members and students and professors and lawyers and doctors. We need to make our community change. That's more powerful than any law that we pass or don't pass.
All right. And
well,
Senator,
I tend to agree with Senator Taraco on what she just said. But I will say another great way to make sure that your voice is heard is, you know, when we're not in the session, we are in what are called interim committees almost immediately following the legislature. We take that, are basically a roadshow all over the state to pull things together, to gain community input, community feedback. And I encourage people to learn more about that. It's you can learn more about the schedule at nmlegis.gov, and folks can go there to learn what we're up to. And I encourage you to come and argue with your senator, argue with your representative, make sure that they hear your voice, make sure that your community is well represented that way. And that's just another way to make sure that good legislation is crafted in the interim when we actually go to the legislature.
Look, before we go to our break, let's bring in a House member. We have Representative Javier Martinez on the phone. Representative, thanks for joining us.
Hi, good morning. How
good
are you?
Good morning. Well, and you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. So you want to participate in our conversation today?
Well, you know, I think I was listening to the show and I heard Senator Taraco say that you probably should have a House member. I couldn't agree more. I was hoping there'd be a House member on the show to give you the perception or the perspective from the House. And, you know, I couldn't agree more with my colleagues. This was my first session, and I really did see a lot of bipartisan effort coming out of the Senate. Unfortunately, not so much on the House side. I did work with a couple of Republicans on a couple of very good bills. I worked with Representative Jim Dines on a lobbyist reform bill and with Representative Maestas Barnes on a couple of pieces of legislation. Unfortunately, generally, though, the House is very divided. As you know, the Republican Party controls it. And I just wanted to touch on two issues that were mentioned on the show. So Senator Padilla described both the driver's license issue as well as the capital outlay. And I can tell you the capital outlay passed the Senate by wide bipartisan margins. And
35-5.
The House, House Republicans swapped it out and essentially swapped in the governor's capital outlay request, which was a $45 million credit card to build roads, while at the same time cutting senior centers, community colleges, and tribal projects. That particular approach, of course, failed because by the time it got to the Senate with 14 minutes to go, it was a completely different bill. On the driver's license issue, I was proud of the Senate, Senate Republicans and Democrats, who by a wide bipartisan margin approved this reform effort that the senator described. Only to see it die on the floor of the House.
Now, Representative Martinez, we need to do a little bit of sort of internal work here, and I want to ask you: can you stay on the line with us? Because I know
certainly.
We won't have a Republican and a Democrat, but we will have a House and a Senate member. And Senator Taraco, are you still with us?
Yeah,
I know you.
I need to go.
I know you do.
I want to participate.
No, I know you do. I want to. No, no, I want to give you an opportunity before we go to our break for any closing comments you might have.
Okay, let me just do that. You know, the way Senator Padilla talks about me and giving kudos, and the way Representative, who's on the line?
Martinez.
Martinez, you know, talks about Sarah Maestas Barnes, who's a brand new Republican in the House. You know, that just shows the hearts of these individuals. We want to work together. We want to. I mean, and you don't run for office for a job that you don't get paid at to do something selfish. You know, we're all up there because we care about New Mexico. And I think the hearts are there. I think some of it, we just need to kind of refine the edges and things. But, you know, there's some issues we're not going to agree on. And quite honestly, Senator Petty and I don't talk about those. But the ones that we do, those are the ones that we really work on. So I think the hearts, everyone's heart's in the right place. I know mine is. I believe Senator Padilla's is. You know, God, that guy, Senator Padilla, he also works really. This is like a pat on each other's back show, but he also works really hard. Man, he cares, and he works really hard during the interim. I practice law during the interim. It's hard for me to do a lot during the interim because of my law practice. But anyway, thank you for having me.
Well, and thank you so much.
I'll come back, and I'm sorry I'm not there live. I think live, you know, in person is so much better. But
well, we understand you're not feeling well today, and so thank you for participating as you did. And you can also participate. You can join us on Twitter. You can join us on Facebook. You can join us at 277-5866 or 1-877-899-5866. We're going to go to a break now. We have a number of callers, and we'll get to those. But we'll be back with Senator Michael Padilla and Representative Javier Martinez in just a moment.
Ever lost the ability to do important things? Occupational therapists help improve or regain skills to maximize independence and quality of life, training all ages and abilities to do things they need and want to do. Occupational therapists are licensed healthcare professionals regulated by the state and supported by the New Mexico Occupational Therapy Association. Visit Occupational Therapy New Mexico at facebook.com/thisisot, a message from the tax-exempt New Mexico Occupational Therapy Association.
Do you appreciate folk art from around the world? Then watch your mail for several chances to win beautiful textiles donated by the Santa Fe International Folk Art Market. If you've never donated to KUNM before, you won't receive a mailing, but you can still donate and register for 13 chances to win at KUNM.org. Click Support KUNM at the top of the homepage, return your mailing, or go online today because the first three winners will be drawn before the Spring Pledge Drive.
Welcome back to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Kathleen Sabo, and today we're talking about how New Mexico's pressing issues are to be addressed in the wake of this year's legislative session. I'm joined by Senator Michael Padilla in the studio. Senator Lisa Tarraco was kind enough to join us by phone, even though she was sick. And now we also have Representative Javier Martinez on the line. So we've got a group of people for you, and we're going to bring in our first caller and let him add to our conversation. It's David from La Cienega. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us.
The concern that I have, and I was involved in lobbying for one of the behavioral health bills that died for lack of attention on the floor of the Senate 15 minutes before the session ended. It made it all the way through the different committees, all the way through the floor votes.
And which bill was that?
That was SB 53. Assisted outpatient treatment.
Right, I saw that, yes.
And I know, and I want to thank Senator Tarraco for her support. She was good, and I really appreciate that from her. But what I'm hearing in the program and what I've picked up in general is that there are a lot of things like that were through the hopper, essentially done, and then just dissipated in this last momentary kerfuffle. So why should we not have extended session, you know, call back to take care of some of this stuff and actually do the work that legislature is supposed to do?
All right, David, thanks for your call. And let's get you, Senator Padilla. Is there going to be a special session? And is there a possibility that some of these things
Well, you have
could
a
arise?
Couple of things that could happen here. What the caller was just talking about, I have, again, you know, these foster care pieces of legislation. You have the capital budget that would create literally thousands of jobs. But yet the governor has, without even looking at the entire, you know, cadre of things that were sent up to her office and things that were still left on the table, already announced that she doesn't want a special session, that she doesn't want to come back and solve these issues.
Is that her? Does she have the authority to say that?
Well, there's two ways to do it. The governor can call us in, or 3/5 of the legislature.
Of the entire legislature.
Of the entire legislature. And so, and what you have there is a governor who basically has a singular agenda and is turning her back on the state, you know, which is really unfortunate when you think about it. You know, at the end of the day, folks need to let, you know, their representatives know how they feel about this stuff, let the governor's office know how they feel, and that's one way to turn this thing around.
All right, and Representative Martinez, you want to weigh in on the special session possibilities or anything that David said in his call?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with David. There were a lot of good pieces of legislation. Senator Tisipino had one where essentially people coming out of our county jails would be signed up for Medicaid. I mean, just a common sense piece of legislation that the House Republican majority refused to hear on the floor the last couple of days, and so it died. In terms of special session, I couldn't agree with my colleague, Senator Padilla, more. I think this governor has a very single issue agenda. You know, she has really refused to work across the aisle, which in a state like New Mexico, you have to do in order to get things done.
And I'm sorry, we don't have a Republican with us right now. I'm sure there would be some defense brought up for those actions. Yes, Senator Padilla.
Well, and one thing that we almost immediately found, and maybe the representative can comment on this because I wasn't in his chamber directly, but so I'm over there busily whipping votes left and right on the Senate floor. We're sending things over to the House, yet and we're receiving things from them. You know, the numbers were such that, you know, with the composition of the House now, that basically the Republican House leadership can basically do whatever they want to do. They can kill whatever bill they want to, no matter how good it is for New Mexico, the moment it arrives.
Isn't that true in the Senate with the Democrats, though, as well?
Not necessarily. We do have members of the Senate Democratic Caucus that are conservative Democrats. We have moderates. We have super progressives, if you will. So a lot more. You have to work a lot harder to get something through the Senate. But once it gets through, you know, it's pretty much has a seal of approval on it. I don't know if the representative wants to comment on that. But essentially, when we saw things coming from the House, it was almost shocking because there was very little debate. There was very little public input. Things were basically, put through the ringer and sent over. When we would send good pieces of legislation that were well vetted over to the House, they would be held in a holding bin, literally on a metal holding bin on the chief clerk's desk in the middle of the House. I went over multiple times to get my foster care bills for these 3,000 kids in New Mexico taken out of that, literally a metal bin, so that the people of New Mexico, the House of Representatives, could debate those bills, and they just stood there.
Well, before we go to our next caller, let me give you an opportunity, Representative Martinez, just to comment on whether you had that experience in the House, with that there was very little debate and very little opportunity to shape legislation in a bipartisan way.
So as a member of the minority party, the biggest weapon we have is to engage in the full three-hour debate on the floor on whatever bill. That's the max we can debate. And a lot of the big bills, you know, the right-to-work bill, there was a bill to gut our renewable energy portfolio, the driver's license bill. We exercised that right to debate these issues on the floor for those full 3 hours. But Senator Padilla is absolutely right, because of the numbers, Republicans can just get things through. And unfortunately, very bad legislation left the House and went over to the Senate. You know, I spoke about right to work, the gutting of renewable energy, issues with water and oil and gas that, before we would have never thought of passing because there were bad pieces of legislation. They just flew through the House. And a lot of good Senate proposals came over and died, many of them in the first committee. Others didn't even make it to a committee hearing.
Now, let me read a caller question from Ann, who was on the line but could not stay on. What education measures passed? She wants us to know she is an educator and won't work in New Mexico anymore because of the issues with education. So help us understand here. If you know, in fact, because of the last minute aspect of things, what important education issues actually passed?
Well, essentially, almost nothing. We weren't able to get anything. What we did stop, though, were unusual pieces of legislation coming from the House. One of them, I will say, was House Bill 144, which basically would have continued New Mexico down that road of judging teachers, principals, and schools, on test scores. And when you think about that, I was one of those kids that, I grew up in foster care. I went to school, did my level best, but it wasn't the teacher's fault that maybe I didn't get a good night's sleep the night before or a breakfast in the morning or whatever. These teachers are doing yeoman's work. They are picking up 30, 40 students a day and lifting them up and teaching them, what they need for their futures. Yet instead, we want to basically be very processed and clinical and sterile with the way that we judge these teachers and these with these bills that came out of the House. And so we stopped them because they were not good for New Mexico.
Let's go ahead and bring in our next caller. It's Sarah from Albuquerque. Good morning, Sarah.
Yes, good morning. I was concerned about the smoking ban bill with minor children in the car. I heard about it, and what happened to that? Did it get killed in the House or the Senate? It was never talked about, and
All right. That
was a very important bill for
All right.
me.
Thanks so much for your call, Sarah, and let's go ahead and find out about that. Anybody aware?
I believe it did pass through the Senate, and again, I don't know, Representative, if you have any information on what happened in the House with that bill.
Yeah, so that was Representative Steinborn's bill, and I believe so it passed the House, and then it was amended in the Senate to, they upped the age to children under 13. I think when it left the House, it was children under five, I believe. But the bill did pass. In concurrence, I'm not sure if it ultimately did. We'll have to check into that. But there was one of those few bills where there was wide bipartisan support for.
And everyone's left with this sense of confusion about whether things actually got concurrence or not. And we're here with legislators, and they don't even know. So this is something. And Representative Martinez, are you going to be pushing your constituents to ask for a special session? I mean, after you hear the conversation today with all the good bills that sort of got lost in the last minute shuffle, plus the capital outlay, what is going to be your tactic in these next few weeks even?
Well, so I think the problem with a special session is that, as the senator mentioned, right, it's the governor that has to call it, or a vast majority of our legislators have to call it. And the bigger problem here is that we're a citizen legislature, and Senator Tarocco mentioned this. So 112 folks who serve up there, most of us have day jobs, have families. And so that really inhibits us being able to call ourselves into special session, at any point, unless there are big, massive issues. For example, had we not passed the budget, we would have had to go to special session for the Constitution. Anything else is really difficult to call a special session around, even though there are a lot of good proposals and bills that should have passed that didn't, the capital outlay being one of them. It's not as easy as it sounds to call a special session, unfortunately.
Here's another example of the governor shutting down the possibility of the need for a special session. I mean, has already come out and said she does not support that, does not support coming back together to solve this capital outlay budget piece that would create thousands of jobs. With the price of oil, seesawing every single day, she may have no choice. I mean, the budget we passed may not have exactly the best. It might not be standing on the best legs right now, because if the price of oil were to dip even $10, that's a $7 million hit per dollar. That's $70 million. And so there's a number of things that will have to be addressed if we if the price of oil continues to drop, which is something that New Mexico is very dependent on in terms of how our budget is managed.
And connect that for me, if you would, just briefly, the price of oil and the special session.
Well, so we passed a budget, and a portion of what we get out of extractive, the extractive industry here in New Mexico goes into our state operating budget, general fund budget. If the price of oil drops even a couple of dollars, that's going to create a huge gap for departments that operate things like public safety, public schools, you name it.
Now, I do want to let people know we have a number of links regarding this show on our Call-In Show webpage, as well as a lot of coverage during the session. In very brief closing, anything else you want to say, Senator Padilla?
Well, I appreciate you having me on. I'm happy to come back. I appreciate Representative Martinez joining. I think Senator Tarocco and I, again, I think we demonstrated that we do everything our level best to work together. I will say that the Senate Democrats put together a solid plan called Ready to Work, 58 bills that generated 73,000 jobs. Unfortunately, these bills, a lot of them were cut off in the House, which is unfortunate for New Mexico.
And I do want to say thanks to our guests, New Mexico State Senators Michael Padilla and Lisa Turaco, and also to Representative Javier Martinez, who stepped in when a sick Senator Turaco had to leave us. You can find a podcast of this and other KUNM call-in shows online at KUNM.org. Ramon Garcia has engineered the show today. Kaveh Movahed handled our phones. Elaine Baumgartel is our executive producer. I'm Kathleen Sabo. This is the KUNM Call-In Show on 89.9 KUNM, broadcasting live from the University of New Mexico.